Message is going to be called Just Do It. Just Do It tonight. And Brother Bob Majeski's here tonight. He knows that we were involved. That's how I met Bob. We were in a company that was run by A.L. Williams, who was a football coach. And then he became CEO of a company. And then it became a company called Primerica. Went from A.L. Williams and Primerica. And he would talk about different people in that company because the company was motivated to do things and to work and to build. And you know what? We've lost that in this country, that initiative, that sense of free enterprise. Charlie Kirk talked a lot about it, and we need to get back to that for Generation Z and for the millennial generation, you know, doing something. And Charlie Kirk was a good example of that, built something called Turning Point USA, and he put a lot of work into it and effort and built it into a great business. Well, now we got a lot of people today like Mondami in New York. They're just jealous over people that are doing it. You see, God, whether it's spiritual or whether it's physical, he blesses work. There used to be a guy called Maynard G. Krebs on the Dobie Gillis show. Remember that? And he thought work was a four-letter word. By the way, he was before the hippies. You know what was before the hippies? The beatniks. The beatniks. And Maynard was a beatnik. He came to school with a holy shirt on and grungy looking, and he was just a lazy guy, you know. And he hated work. And when he heard the word work, it bothered him. But A.L. Williams would say there were a lot of people in his orbit, you know, as he was building this company, and he was a football coach, Sergeant Georgia, and they would say, you know, to him, "Oh, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do that," and he would just say, "Just do it. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna just do it, just do it, and do it, and do it." Remember that, Brother Bob? Just do it. He had a whole message called "Just Do It." And so tonight I thought I preach on that in the local church. Just do it from First Chronicles and chapter 28. And here in chapter 28, David is ready to pass the baton to his son Solomon. And he was supposed to build the temple on top of Mount Moriah. He was going to build something, you know, for God. And David wanted in the worst way to build that temple, but God said, "Nope, I'm not going to let you do it." So David didn't just sulk and say, "Oh, I can't do it." Could one of the men tell me what David did? What did David do, Sarge? There you go. Very good. He gathered all the materials for his son Solomon, and he was really busy doing that. He couldn't build the temple, but he did his part. Amen and amen. And David's a great man. So he's going to pass the baton here to Solomon in chapter 28, and we're going to preach on just one verse, verse number 20. So go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse number 20, and I'll read it. It says there, "Be strong and of good courage." And don't miss these next two words. What are they, class, out loud? Do it. Let's do that again. Be strong and of good courage, and together, do it. One more time. Be strong and of good courage, and do it. All right. "Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee, and he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until that thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of God." You see, God's got a work for you to do. And he wants you to just do it. And by the way, he says here to his son Solomon, "And do it." And then he says, "God will be with you." See, some people want God to be with them before they do it. But God is with you in the work. God is with you in stepping out in faith. God is with you when you just do it. And you're not going to see God is with you until you do it. I remember the first time I preached, man, I failed. I flunked. I started out preaching like a lion. I was up there preaching away. And then I got hit with doubts. I got hit with fears. I got hit with the fact I know nothing about what I'm talking about in an experiential way. And my voice was so quiet by the time I finished that message that I could hardly talk. And you know what happened? The whole auditorium got dark from the outside in. And you know what that means? When it gets dark, you're ready to pass out. But you know what? I was called to preach. I had failures, but I did it. And I found out as I went, God blessed me. As I did it, God blessed me. As I did it, God strengthened me. As I did it, I began to get to know God. And I want to say to some of you tonight, you just need to do it. You just need to do it. You need to do what you hear. You know, there are a lot of people that hear the Word of God, but they don't do it. That's why the book of James was written, that you would not be forgetful hearers, but doers of the work. And so tonight, I want to preach a message called Just Do It, from David to Solomon. And you know, God spoke directly to Joshua in chapter 1. And I'll never forget this, as I was afraid to be a pastor, afraid to lead a church and all of that. And that verse just jumped out at me in chapter 1 of verse 9. It said, "Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." You know, he's with me in the pulpit. He's with me when I'm in the meetings. He's with me when I'm calling people and leading the church. He's with me. I know I am doing the work that God called me to do, but I need to just do it. And God's got you doing a work. We're all supposed to be clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. And God's got a part for you, but you're not going to find out your part until you do it. You say, "How do I do it?" You need to get saved, and then you can do it. Then you need to get baptized, put on the uniform of the team, and then you can do it. And you need to join the church, and then you can do it. And then you need to show up, you know, and you can do it. And so just do it is what the message is all about tonight. And that's what Art Williams said, just do it. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. So 1 Chronicles 28 verse 20, Solomon is told by his dad, David, who's getting ready to leave this earth. He said, "Be strong and of courage and do it." You know what? Sometimes people leave us and go to heaven, or leave us and go somewhere else so that we'll just stay and do it. We'll just do our part. And tonight, you know, there are people, they can't do it. They're in heaven right now tonight. They can't do it. But you can do it. And the baton is in your hands, and God wants you to do it. And so this is the verse here: "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not." Now, I'd like to say three things about that tonight. Just do it. Number one, just do it by the courage you get from God to do it. He says, "Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee, and he will not fail thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of God." Do you know what? God chose Solomon to build the house of God. He didn't choose David. He chose Solomon. You know, some of you young people, you'll be able to do something your parents can't do. Some of you young people, you'll be able to do something that great men of God cannot do, because they're not here, but you're here. You know, I'm amazed at some people that are young people that are building something and doing something great in this generation. And we need that in Christianity. We need that in the Church of Jesus Christ. I mean, God calls young men to preach. God calls young ladies to help young men as wives and mothers to help them do a work. God does that, and you need to just do what God wants you to do. And some guys, you know, they want to have a great wife. You're not going to have a great wife until you're great. And you're not going to be great until you just do it. And you just do it, and God will give you a woman that will help you do it. I thank God for the wife He's given me. She helps me just do it. Amen. But if I wasn't just doing it, God wouldn't give me a virtuous woman to help me to do it. Because behind every great man, there is a great woman. Amen. And so, just do it, and you'll find out that helper that God has for you, and God will bless you. And God chose Solomon to do the work. Adonijah, remember, he wanted to be the king. And he thought he would be the king. He had meetings. He had all these people behind him. He was a good-looking guy. He looked like, but he was not chosen of God to do the work. You see, it's not just how great you are. It's what does God have for you to do? You know, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Listen, unto good what? Works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Becky's driving the bus now. Can you believe it? I would have never thought Becky'd be driving the bus a couple years ago. I remember Becky when she was in school, and we prayed for her. She was best friends with my daughter Brooke, and Becky was a special girl to us. And you know what? She walked away from God's will at one time, and I remember God gave me a verse: just let her go, just let her go, just let her go. But God brought her back. Amen. And she went through difficulties in her life that are ordained of God because he's not letting her go. He's not letting her go. And you know what? You may walk out on God. You may walk out on the man of God. You may walk out on the church of God. But if God's got a plan and he's ordained it, my friend, he will put the pressure on you. He will bring the problems in your life to bring you back. Not just to sit there and do nothing, but to bring you back to get the baton. And now you can do it. Just do it tonight. Why? Because God has ordained you to do it. God has chosen you to do it. And God wants you to do it tonight. And he will be with you if you just do it because he has chosen you to do it. He didn't choose Adonijah. You know, Adonijah tried to be sneaky about it. After Solomon was chosen, he ran to his house, and all his buddies, you know, ran away. And they, you know, when God chooses somebody, you better get behind them. You better recognize when God chooses somebody and get behind them and work with them, you see. I mean, you got so many people that fought Solomon, and Adonijah was one of them. But at first he surrendered. Then he came back around and he went to his mother. His mother's name was Bathsheba. And he went to Bathsheba and he said, Hey, I just want a request of King Solomon. Just one little request. She said, what is it? He said, I would like to marry Abishag, the Shunammite. Abishag was married to David, but he was old and she just kept him warm. She was a virgin, even though they were married. And he said, I want her wife. And Bathsheba said, well, that sounds reasonable. That sounds reasonable. I will go and I will tell Solomon. So Solomon says, come on in, mother, anything you want, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Come on in, mom. And she comes in. She says, oh, yeah, your brother from another mother, he wants to marry Abishag. He said, kill him. Kill him. He sent Benaiah to go and kill him. Why? Because by getting that woman, he was trying to get to be king again. He was trying to do Solomon's job. Don't try to do somebody else's job. You do what God called you to do. Leadership must lead. Fellowship must follow. You do what God's called you to do and get into it and do it, and God will bless you. And yes, people will oppose you. People will go against you. It amazes me that people kill Charlie Kirk. I mean, how evil can that be? But now that he's dead, it amazes me they're accusing his wife of doing it. It amazes me they're accusing his team of doing it. It amazes me that they're coming up with all these conspiracy theories about that. And they ask at a town hall, Erica Kirk, and they said to her, what counsel do you give to these people that are doing that? She said, just stop it. Just stop it. And you know what? That would be a smart thing. Because that woman just wanted to be a wife and a mother. And she was doing it. And backing up a great man. But he wanted her to make sure she was the face and the voice of that movement. And I'll tell you what. She may not be an independent fundamental Baptist, but God is with her to do what she's doing. And she's doing it. And she's doing it. And I'm just saying to you tonight that God wants you to step up to the plate. God wants you to do your part. Glad to see the girls here doing their part in music. Just do it. Glad to see our buses all today. They ran it. They just did it. They got out there and did it. And what I'm saying is you are chosen by God to do what you're doing. And I remember when I got that verse in Joshua, be strong and of good courage. That's the same thing David told Solomon. You be of good courage. God will be with you. And I remember I was opposed. Pastor Ware was gone. There were people that were here. They loved the old pastor. And they wanted to do it his way, and I was called to God. He wanted me to do this ministry. He wrote me a letter, and he said, "Oh, it'd be great if you'd come back here and pastor this church." And the church voted to call me back, but I had opposition. Hey, if you're doing something for God, people will oppose you. There'll be things that will go against you. You have to have courage that, no, God called me. He's chosen me to do this. I am going to stay with it, and I am going to do it. And I was encouraged by Erica Kirk with all the lies and all the stuff, and she's got tears coming out of her eyes. They're real tears. Don't believe these liars. I know real tears when I see them. There's a person that's mourning, and she's weeping, and she's doing it. Boy, we need some believers today, independent, fundamental Baptists, that we have the right Bible, we have the right standards, we have the right doctrine. How about just doing it? Amen. Doing it. And that's what Solomon did. He just did it. And I had opposition, but I stayed with it, and I just did it. And God helped me to overcome all that opposition and build and do something for God. And, you know, Jesus said that you're ordained to do it. He said in John 15:16, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Now, what was he talking about? You should go. You should go out there and tell people about the Lord. You should go out there and lead them to Jesus Christ. They're ready to get saved. You know, Brother Joseph Bodnick said, he said to the class the other night, Thursday night class, he said, I was ready to get saved. I just didn't have anybody that explained it to me. I needed somebody to make it clear. It is simple. Salvation is a simple plan. God didn't make it complicated. But it needs to be made plain so that people's faith can latch onto it and just do it. You say, why? Because you're ordained to do it. You're chosen to do it. You've not chosen me. I've chosen you or ordained you that you should go and bring forth. I like what John R. Rice said about being a preacher. He said, are you called to be a preacher? He said, I don't know. He said, I just kept volunteering and God never stopped me. I just kept volunteering and God never stopped me. And he kept going to a higher and higher level. He had that desire that 1 Timothy talks about. If any man desire that work, you know. I saw that in Brother Zukowski. He had that desire for that work. And so I just let him do it. And he wanted to do more and do more. And look, now he's a pastor, a youth pastor, assistant pastor. Just do it. Just do it. Just do what God wants you to do. Because he's chosen you and he's ordained you. And yeah, you'll have opposition. Just like Solomon. Here he's going to be ordained to be the king. And Adonijah is already sitting there partying saying he's the king. It kind of reminded me of 2020. Remember we said we had two presidents? Joe Biden, who we found out was not really a president. He didn't win the vote, number one, because it was stolen. Number two, he had an auto pen. He didn't even know what he was doing because it was being run by a committee of people under Obama, no doubt, under the global. Our country was stolen. By the way, that's what's going on in Venezuela. Hugo Chavez and Maduro, they're all in on it. It's a crooked deal. But guess what? Donald Trump didn't quit, did he? He just did it. He just did it. Oh, you can't be president. They made all the jokes when he said, but he did it. You can stop the smiles of people and just do it. Thank God Becky's doing it. How does she do it with the kids? How does she? It's God's grace. God's grace is helping her. I've seen people lock in. I've seen Brother Jose lock in, Jose Valley, just lock in. He was just, he was not doing it. There was a time you were not doing it. And then he just locked in. And he said, I'm going to do it. Would to God tonight, some of you would say, hey, I'm going to lock in. I'm going to be a member. I'm going to be a member, an active member of the church. I'm going to make sure I'm an active member. And I'm going to be here. And I'm going to be here. By the way, your church is more important than your job. Some people move because of a job. No, I would move because of the church. I've said many times, all God would have to do is whisper if he wants me in Florida. And he's never even whispered. I've been down there, visits, you know, but I can't live down there. I got people that go down there from our church and school, and they get down there. Abigail says she's down there in a teaching position, and then she's doing, not me. Just do it. And so I decided I'm going to have fun in Scranton. And I'm just going to do it here. And God has chosen me to do it. And so I am just going to do it. And secondly, not only by the courage you get from knowing God has chosen you and ordained you, and you need to know that tonight. If you're saved, you are ordained to win souls. You are ordained to do ministry, work for God in the local New Testament church. And you say, well, how will I know what my ministry is? Just start small. Just be faithful and do it. Some small thing, and then God will give you more. And if you're faithful in little things, God will make you rule over much. And just start and do what God wants you to do under somebody. And so you need to get courage from knowing that God's chosen you to do it. Number two, by the commerce you get from those charging you to do it. Look what it says in 1 Chronicles 28:2. Then David the king stood upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and made ready for the building. So David, as I said, couldn't build the building, but he made ready for the building, and he gave Solomon a whole bunch of good things that he could have to help him. He gave Solomon physical blessings for the building and spiritual blessings. You know, I think about our former pastor. He contacted me. I was in Florida. I got to Florida. I was here and I got to Florida. God let me go to Florida. I was here for 6 years and God let me go to Florida. And I was living in Florida and it was so great. Mindy, you weren't even born. But it was great. Steve was born. Amy was born. And I would walk out in January of my front door and I had a lime tree and I would pick limes. I had a lemon tree and I'd pick lemons. I'd squeeze it, put it in water and just drink it. I'd go cut the lawn and cut mangoes up. They were all over the lawn. In January. I mean, it was nice. I was a youth pastor. I was teaching in a Christian school there, fourth grade. I had about 28, 29 students. I was 28 years old and married. And I was living in Florida. I was living my dream. It was great. God wouldn't let me stay there more than about a year. I got called back here. I told my wife, I said, we'd go to church on a Sunday at Calvary Baptist Church, where I was a youth pastor. We'd go out and get Bud's chicken, go over to her parents' house, go through the beautiful house there, out to the pool. She had a pool behind the house. Behind the pool, she had a canal, and on the canal, she had a beautiful boat that her parents had. We'd get in that boat, January, about 75 degrees. Eating the Bud's chicken, talking. And my wife said, what do you got to say? I said, we're going back. We're going to Scranton. We're going to Scranton. My father-in-law said, look, son, I will make you the vice president of my company. Build a multi-million dollar business. I'll make you the vice president. You can be vice president over sales. You're good. You could help us expand. He said, I'll give you a company car. I'll pay everything. It's all there for you. Son, that's all you got to do. I said, sorry, Dad, God called me. I got to be a pastor. I got the call of God on my life. And I'm going back to Scranton, Pennsylvania. My wife said, but we got hit in Scranton. The devil hit us. Oh, man. I said, I know, but God's called me. She said, okay, well, I'm called to help you. I'll go with you. By the way, that's the way it is. A man is called to a work, and a woman is called to help a man. I like that about Erica Kirk. She helped Charlie be the mother of his kids and be his wife, and she's doing what she's doing because she looks at her group as a family, not a CEO of a company or anything. She's just trying to help her husband, even though he's passed away now. I'm just saying, just do it by the commerce that is provided for you. Do it by the courage God gives you by choosing you and knowing He's backing you. And sometimes people are afraid because they don't think God is backing them. Like Timothy was a very timid man. And the Apostle Paul said, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know what you get? What gives you courage is loving others and getting outside of yourself. My wife is afraid of mice. She doesn't even want me to say the word mouse. Except Mickey Mouse, and she'll go. She'll go there. But if she had her kids and a mouse was there and her kids were in danger, she'd still run out. But sometimes when you're trying to help a little kid, you forget about yourself, amen? And you get the courage to to just do it. And Timothy, you just need to get out there, Timothy, and help people, and you'll forget about yourself, and you'll get the courage to do it. And God will give you the commerce so that you can do it. David supplied Solomon with what he needed. And by the way, you want to go to church and get something from the message? You know, Brother Joe, when he talks about the preaching and teaching here, Brother Joe says, we have no excuse for going away hungry. We get a smorgasbord here. But you know why he says that? Because he's doing it. And he's hungry. When you're working, you're hungry. Amen? Most Americans, they are getting too much food and too little work. You say, how do you know? They're fat! We need more work. We need more work and less food. We need more work and less food. And I'm saying that just do it. Just do it because of the commerce that you get by those that are charging you from doing the work. And I think of Pastor Ware. He wanted me to pastor this church. I knew he did. And I said, I'll do it. The church voted to call me, and I said, I'll do it. But I went to Bible college. I have a bachelor's degree and a master's degree, but that's not the key to my being able to do it. Here's what Paul told Timothy. He said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine or my teaching, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but God delivered. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. How did Timothy learn to do it and become the head pastor at the church at Ephesus? By being with the Apostle Paul when he went out there and built churches, by helping him and being his servant and serving him like a son with a father. You need to get with somebody and work with that person. You know, I appreciate Elgin Gano. I said, Elgin Gano, he may not have the office of a deacon, but he does the work of a deacon, right, Brother Joe? He's working with the head deacon, Brother Joe. And he's putting in all these lights. You see how bright it is in here? That's because Elgin put in these lights. And now you're enjoying the light. And I kept saying to Brother Joe, I want more light, I want more light. We're getting it. We're getting it. Why? Because somebody's just doing it. Elgin Gano. And I'm just saying that by being around somebody that's doing it, you can help them to do it. Yes, like Timothy did Paul, but you learn to do it. And you then can take the baton. Solomon learned by being around his dad and working with his dad to do it, you see. I learned by being around Dr. Ware and being available to him to do it, you see. And that's how you can do it. You know, Elisha hung around Elijah. And when Elijah was taken to heaven, who was there with him? Elisha was there. And he got his mantle dropped and took it and did the work. There are some of you tonight, you need to get around somebody that's really committed in the yoke of Jesus Christ and learn from them. And you'll get commerce. You'll get things that will make you great for God. I think of Mrs. Bajeski. She's worked with my wife on hospitality and decorations and all of that. And she's taken more and more of that upon herself. She just does it. Angela Bajeski just does it and does it and does it. Just do it. You'll get the courage from being chosen of God for it. You'll know, hey, I'm chosen to do this. How do I know it? Because I'm doing it and God is blessing it. You'll get the commerce that you need, the wealth, the provision, the food, spiritual, that you need because you're doing it. And that's how we're going to grow Sunday school here. Hey, Some of you ought to be in Sunday school. You ought to just do it. Brother Bob knows this. A.L. Williams had another phrase, not just do it and do it and do it. His other one was just show up. Work hard and live right. The RBCS students know I say this all the time. And I say, if you don't show up Sunday morning in Sunday school, you don't show up Sunday morning in church, you don't show up Sunday evening, you're going to miss out. Just show up. That's a big percentage of success. Just show up. And a lot of people don't. They're A-W-O-L when it comes to Sunday school, or when it comes to church Sunday morning, or when it comes to Sunday evening. And some people say, well, my job won't permit me. I'm just too busy. Well, listen, why don't you organize your job around your worship of the Lord? Brother Bob Bajeski told me that about the mall. He said, the guy at the mall here won't let me do my business on Saturday because I won't show up on Sunday to the mall. He says, I only want people that will be here on Sunday. If you're here on Sunday, I'll let you be there on Saturday. And I got so mad when Brother Bob told me that I was going to curse that guy's fig tree and just pray that thing wither up. And I've done it over and over again. I started to do that, and then God changed my prayer. Said, just pray that Bob could get in there on Saturday. And Brother Bob just texted me the other day. He said, hey, a guy had Saturday and Sunday, both days, because he's committed to both. But he then said he wasn't able to really make it on Saturday. He said, you can share my booth. You can work with my booth on Saturday. I said, wow, that's God answering that prayer. But that's Brother Bob, listen to me, not organizing God around his priorities, but organizing his priorities around God's. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I've always believed that a priority was God is his church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's an important institution. The family, husband, wife, children being raised, because it's like Erica Kirk said. She said, once you get those kids raised, you start a business, you go ahead, you can go back to it. But your priority is be a wife to your husband and raise those kids. I'm just saying, we need to get back to God's priorities. Show up. Organize your life around it. Get it around it. And make the local church an important priority in your life. And you will have the commerce that you need. You will have everything that you need to go for God. And I had that. I remember back in 2017, Brother Zukowski said, oh, I think I want to go away to Bible college. I want to go out here and go to another state and go. I took him out to lunch and I showed him just what the Bible said about that. And he said, I agree with everything you're saying. He said, the best place I can learn is by staying here and working closely with the man of God. And he did that. And then we started our own college here. And he's been involved in that and learned a lot from that. But the main thing is being apprenticed and being around somebody that's just doing it. You want to be a Sunday school teacher? Get around somebody. You want to be a soul winner? Brother Joe, years ago, he said to me, I want to learn to be a soul winner. I said, just come with me. And he did. And now he's a great soul winner, does a great job for God, teaching soul winners. That's how you learn. And that's what it says here. Just do it. Get involved in it. By the courage you get from knowing you're chosen to do it, by the commerce you get or the provision you get from those that are charging you to do it, and lastly, by the counsel you get from God's word. What did it say here? And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it, fear not, nor be dismayed. You know what you need to do? You need to decide, I'm going to bury myself in the local church until God blasts me out of here. You know what? God is building a church here that's a blessed church. I'm not bragging, but I am saying God is doing something special here in Scranton, Pennsylvania. God has led us to have the right Bible. Not every church has the right Bible. God has led us to have a soul-winning priority. Not everybody has that and has baptisms and new members through confrontational soul-winning. God has led us to get ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ and to understand it. A lot of churches do not have the right teaching, listen to me, on the second coming of Jesus Christ. God has led us to have a bus ministry and has blessed that bus ministry. God has blessed this church and has given us a unity of doing it and working together to get it done. The devil doesn't like that, but listen, God wants you to bury yourself in a local church until God blasts you out. You know, a lot of people aren't prospering because they're not buried in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, local New Testament church. They're not clicking around the man of God. And I've seen people leave and say, oh, I can do it. And Brother Matt left three times and God brought him back and he just decided to bury himself in here. I remember in the 70s, I left and I was going to go to Michigan and meet with a missions leader and I was going to start a church. And God showed me from the book of Revelation as I was going out there, the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, I've not found your works perfect before God. That was in the 1970s, around 1973, 74. Last I checked out, it's been a few years, I'm still here. I buried myself in this work and just did it. And God has blessed that work. You know, there are some people, they say the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You ever heard that? But you get over there and you got to mow the grass. You know, people, they don't like their spouses. Oh, I would have done better if I married somebody else. They look on the other side of the fence and they say the grass is greener. But you know what? When they get on there, they got weeds over there in that grass. They got to pull it. Do you know second marriages have more divorces than first marriages? Third marriages more? Why? Because the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Now, sometimes it's not a person's fault. They just have somebody going to the other side of the fence and they're left holding the bag. But I'm just saying to you, just build your own marriage. Build your own home. Build your own family. Don't envy somebody else's church. Build your church. Do your part in it. And we've had people that have just left the church looking for something better. I've had a number of men come back to me and tell me, Pastor, there's nothing out there better than what we got here. I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. And I'm here. And so bury yourself in the work because that is the counsel of God's work. You just bury yourself in the work of God until He blast you out. I think of Erica Kirk. She's got all these people. Her husband said, if I go, you take care of Turning Point, our family here that I built. I build a winning family. You just be the head, you know, but they'll do the work. These guys are doing the work. And ever since he's dead, they're attacking her and attacking her. And attacking her. And she said something that applies. She said, you know what I thought of Nehemiah chapter 6. Candace Owens attacking her. People that do that are lower than what did I say, pond scum. They're lower than snail spit. She's attacking her. She said, I thought of Nehemiah 6, I'm doing a great work. Why should I come down and the work suffer to come down and get involved with you when you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars grifting on me? And boy, that's so true. When people want to do their own thing and go their own way, I just settle down and stay with the work. And I work with people that want to do the work. And I get involved with those people. And I work with them. You know, the work will determine who your friends are. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You want to get intimate with somebody, get in the yoke of Christ with them and work with them. I got to know Brother Hiles, who had such an influence on my life. I got to know him when I took trips with him. I helped him out. He was serving those pastors, and I tried to help him out to serve the pastor. And he welcomed the help. You see, just bury yourself in God's work. Do your part. Be faithful with it, and God will bless that. And hey, I'm helping out as a bus worker. I help this guy out as a bus worker. I enjoy that. The other day I wanted to do deer hunting. It was the last day of the season. I wanted to go to Brother Joe's and get up in the deer stand. And so I got here. I did my prayer meeting with the men, Revival Seekers. After the prayer meeting, we had a Sunday school teachers and bus meeting and planned for this weekend. I was doing that. Brother Matt said, you want lunch before we go out? I said, no, I can't really eat lunch because I got things to do. And you just go up to Carbondale. I'll do whatever I can do. And then you finish. And we got that settled. And so I went to get out of there. And I saw the back walk was all slippery with ice. And I said, I got to get that. Steve Manning, I think you brought salt. God used that because I took that salt and I went to Sarge and I said, what container can I put that salt? He showed me a container. I put the salt. I'm putting that all around there. Another guy told me, well, I was told, I would have done it, Pastor, but I was told not to do it. I said, listen, I'm not waiting until tomorrow. Somebody could fall and sue us or get hurt. We need to get that done. And then I realized, hey, it might snow overnight. We better get a plow guy to plow the thing. So I called my assistant administrator, my administrative assistant, Alicia. I said, Alicia, give a call to that guy. I gave you his number. Call him up and get that plow guy. She did it. She told me I did that. I got it done, Pastor. And then I went out and did the bus ministry. And then finally, I did some counseling over the phone. And finally I said, I got to get to Brother Joe's. It gets dark about 4:45, you know. I can't shoot anymore. So I went home. I got all my deer stuff on and had my gun. And I have a pillow I sit on. And I climb up in this tree, way up in this high deer stand. But I can't hold my gun because I don't have a strap. So I had to put that pillow in my teeth. And I'm climbing up the ladder. I finally get up there, I sat it down, I looked for the deer. That was so much fun when I got up there. Lasted about an hour and 45 minutes, it got dark. But I'm just doing it. And today I've just been doing it. And I just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And somebody says, how old are you? I don't even think about it. Because I feel young. I feel good. You want to feel good? Just do it. You may not feel like doing it when you do it. When I get up in the morning, I don't feel like it. But once you do it, you feel good about it. But that's the problem. You know what it is? The book of Proverbs says there's a lion in the street. It's too cold. I can't do it. Alicia called me this morning. She said, "What should I do?" I said, "If Trish doesn't stop you, get the bus and go with caution." And she didn't stop her. They'll probably delay school tomorrow. I don't know. But we got the buses. And we did it, right? Said, "What about Becky? She's new." Just tell her, be cautious. Stay on the main roads, right, Becky? You say, "Pastor, how do you know everything goes on?" Because I'm doing it. I'm doing it. If I wasn't doing it, I wouldn't want to be here. I want to be doing it. The Israeli army, the leaders lead from the front. And so just do it because you're chosen to do it. And God has a work for you to do. Just do it because God will give you the commerce that you need to do it. And just do it because of the counsel of God's word for you to be strong, not to be afraid, not to be dismayed. Bury yourself in a ministry and stay with it until God blasts you out. Many people leave church for a job or for something and they regret it. "I should have stayed with it." Don't you be there. Stay with it. I'm going to ask, we bow for prayer, every head bowed and eye closed, and we're out of time. We have a short meeting up here, but